After months of being mute, how is it that the first words out of Zechariah's mouth are "Blessed be"? Zechariah was rendered mute by the angel Gabriel, whom he met while offering incense in the sanctuary of the Lord in the temple. When Zechariah questioned the message he received from Gabriel, Gabriel immediately said, "You will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." So how is it that 9 months later, the first words out of Zechariah's mouth are, "Blessed be the Lord of creation"? It was the Lord who muted him. Zechariah belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron. You know Aaron, the brother of Moses, that Aaron. Both Zechariah, and Elizabeth were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. So how is it that this holy, righteous priest with the right bloodlines is muted by God, and then that the first words out of his mouth when he can finally speak again are, "Blessed be the Lord God of creation, who has looked favorably upon the people and has redeemed them." Past tense, it has already happened. At the time when Zechariah met Gabriel, he was alone in the inner sanctuary of the temple. He was at the height of his career. To be able to serve the Lord by offering incense in this space was a huge honor. Yet Zechariah had one deep grief that marred his world. He and Elizabeth had no children, a disgrace, as Elizabeth calls it. This deep wound did not keep Zechariah out of that inner space, inner sacred space. He was welcomed into this sanctuary where God dwelt. And there he meets Gabriel, a messenger from God, who declares that Zechariah and Elizabeth will be given their heart's desire. They will have a son. When Zechariah wonders about his own age and Elizabeth's age and the possibility of it all, he is rendered mute. He leaves the inner sanctuary, and people waiting for him outside know that something momentous has happened, but Zechariah cannot tell them anything. So he finishes out his term of service and goes home to a Judean town in the hill country. Elizabeth conceives, and upon her conception, she interestingly goes into seclusion for 5 months. Elizabeth is also turning inward, moving into a quiet interior place, a place without words and without the confusion of others' opinions. Elizabeth, by her own choosing, and Zechariah, by God's choosing, are quiet enough to listen for God's song as they await the birth of their child. In the silence of not speaking and seclusion, these two are transformed. When Elizabeth's young cousin comes to their home pregnant and unwed, Elizabeth, with no interference from Zechariah, offers a blessing when a curse could have so easily been given. Remember, Zechariah had spent his life following all of God's commandments, and it may be that this blessing was difficult for him to watch. Or maybe he had been quiet enough, long enough, to start to suspect that his own affliction of not being able to speak was its own blessing, and that maybe this young girl was also being blessed. Either way, he gets a first-hand seat to witness a blessing being bestowed on a young woman. That blessing empowered her to find her powerful voice that amazingly sounded like God's song. So fast forward to his own birth, or the birth of his own son. It is the eighth day after the birth, and it's time to circumcise and name this child. The powers that be are going to name the baby Zechariah. But Elizabeth interrupts the proceedings, using her voice to declare, "No, he is to be called John," which means God's gift. Not only does Elizabeth speak in a setting where she would be expected to remain silent, but she changes the name that is to be given to the baby. The proceedings stop as people try and figure out a way forward. There is no name John in the lineage of either of their families. Zechariah is consulted, and with a tablet he writes his name. Is John. Zechariah affirms the name spoken by Elizabeth, knowing that this was the name that the angel Gabriel had declared all those long months ago. Immediately after this affirmation, Zechariah's mouth is opened and he says, "Blessed is the Lord of creation, who has looked favorably upon the people and redeemed them." To understand the extent of transformation that Zechariah went through in his 9.5 months of not speaking, we need to look carefully at the words he utters when he can finally speak again. Zechariah's speech is a song, and it echoes God's song. It's a song with three parts. It begins with blessing the very God that made him mute. Somehow Zechariah has come to understand that his inability to speak was not punishment. He has learned that his time of silence is actually an invitation in which God is going to reveal more of God's intention for the world, and that he, Zechariah, is being given a front row seat to what God is up to. So the first phrase out of his mouth is praise to God who muted him. Zechariah assures all who are listening that God has every intention to fulfill the promises made to their ancestors. Favor and salvation are coming. In fact, they're already at hand. God is faithful, and God is to be praised. This blessing of God leads to the second part of Zechariah's song, which celebrates the coming of the Messiah. Zechariah watched as Elizabeth welcomed Mary. He heard Mary's own encounter with the angel Gabriel and witnessed Elizabeth's blessing over this teenage mother. Zechariah witnessed God's welcome for those whose society would send to the margins. Zechariah witnessed the choice of blessing instead of cursing. Zechariah was beginning to learn God's song, that massive displays of power and military might are not ways that God is bringing salvation to this world. God is literally loving this world into wholeness by giving a baby to be loved and who will love the world, a baby born from a mother on the margins. Then and only then does Zechariah's song turn to his own newborn son, John. Zechariah looks on this child and knows that God has said yes to his and Elizabeth's deepest desire. They have been blessed with this child, and now this child needs to be blessed. Zechariah looks upon his heart's desire and says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways." There is no confusion for Zechariah. His son is to prepare the way for the Messiah. His son will not be the Messiah. And nor is there any energy expended to increase his son's status. He blesses his son to become a preacher of salvation by offering the forgiveness of sins. Salvation is not given because people have lived flawless lives. Salvation is offered because it's the nature of God to forgive sins. John will need a heart that is large enough to hold the paradox of being able to name the sins of the people, along with extending to them the reality of the forgiveness that is already given by God. John will need to learn God's song, and he will sing it out loudly in the wilderness, and then once he is well practiced, he will bring it to the people at the River Jordan. Zechariah looks at this 8-day-old infant, and then with the utmost tenderness, begins to sing God's song as best he can. He wants the first thing his son to hear out of his mouth to be wild hope. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. With so much courage and with so much humility, Zechariah sang to God and to his community and to his son. For Zechariah was forever changed. He once thought that the place to be closest to God was in that inner sanctuary in the temple, offering incense. But Zechariah discovered by means of a forced silence that God is never limited to one sacred space. God revealed to Zechariah that God is always moving in the world, appearing to a whole host of characters, inviting them all to join the divine song. God even uncovered that Zechariah's muteness was truly a blessing. It was the invitation for Zechariah to step into a world where everywhere he went, God's song was resounding loud and clear. What a legacy to a newborn son. Having literally walked the path of peace in his own silence, in his own marriage, in his emerging understanding of God, and now in this moment of naming his son, Zechariah gave John, his community, and the world a song of wild hope. It's a legacy that lives on. Thanks be to God. Amen.